Remember, we can't have.
Why can't we have people coming in and out?
Because it just disturbs the audio.
Okay, you say so. You're the expert.
Okay, we are live on YouTube, just for the record. You can release webinars and streaming live on YouTube. Okay. Give me 1 second and we will get ready to start. Start this thing up.
Start me up. Start me up, I'll never stop.
I want to welcome everybody to The World According to Ben Stein. We are joined tonight. I want to thank everybody that's watching, of course, though. First on YouTube at The World According to Ben Stein. We are up to date on iTunes with all our episodes. And we are joined by a brilliant guest tonight. He's a survivalist. He's teaching people how to learn to live off the grid. He's also a podcaster, and he's written many books, like Ben Stein has, about how to live with money. And of course, we're joined by podcaster extraordinaire. Oh, hey, Gary, how are you?
Doing good, Judah. Thanks for having me on. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. Good to meet you.
Honored to meet you, sir.
And you are talking to us from your RV. We don't want to say where your RV is from, but it's somewhere in America.
And, no, we can. I was telling Ben earlier. I'm in California, so.
And
this is my last week here, Judah. I will.
Where are you going now? Where are you going now?
I can't say. My next location is secret. My off-grid house is in Northeast Washington. But I made the mistake of telling people in my book that I didn't know would sell a bunch of copies, where I built my house and where I live. Well, that got a little complicated as it got more popular. So I realized the next place I moved to, I probably might want to keep it a little more quiet this time.
And it's interesting because I know that country a little bit because we have some dwellings in Sandpoint, Idaho, which of course is very, very close to Northeast Washington.
And yeah, I'm in Newport.
I've driven through it a million times. It so happens, I know this is real Americana, that there is a very good McDonald's in Newport. It's the only McDonald's I know of that really does serve fresh cheeseburgers. They're not, they really are fresh and they're incredibly delicious.
I didn't know there was fresh food at McDonald's. I'll have to check that out.
It's really good. It's really good.
If you're going to trust anybody on McDonald's, Gary, it is Ben Stein. But of course, let's welcome podcaster extraordinaire, host of On the Runs, On the Run with Rem, On the Runs, On the Run with Remzo Martinez.
That would be me. That would be me.
That would be, yes, that would be a few of us. And On the Run, and he's also an avid collector. He's got an amazing show, an amazing post sometimes about that stuff you collect. I don't even know what to call it, Remzo.
It's called wasting a lot of time on money on fiction, as somebody told me in the comments today. But it's great to be back with you all. I mean, hey, it's Tuesday. We still don't know who the president is. Tanya Roberts, Donna's mom from that 70s show, is dead. That shocks the hell out of me. And apparently 20 minutes ago, Dr. Dre had an aneurysm. So, you know, I'm glad that we have this moment to ourselves to kind of divorce ourselves from the world and have a little bit of fun tonight. So thank you.
I love Dr. Dre, and I'd like to say a very momentary prayer for his swift and complete recovery.
I'm sure there are many women out there that aren't saying the same thing, but of course we have to celebrate who we're always here to honor: actor, provocateur, writer, lover, sinner, saint. But always America's humble servant, Benjamin Jeremy Stein.
I don't think, God bless you, sir, but I don't think we've mentioned the youngest and most charming of our group, Remzo. We should mention you a little more fully, I think.
I'm all good.
A little more fully.
He's on Parler at Remzo, but I know from before the show, this is the first thing I want to talk about, since everybody out there, I'm sure that people that will catch this show later, Gary, you were staring. Let me just, since you're
that's on, I spoke to you, above me, actually.
I spoke to you about this on the phone, and Ben thought I was wrong the night of the elections. Ben was out celebrating. I was crapping bricks in front of my TV watching a certain news channel that I haven't watched since election night. And I remember at 2 a.m, I had turned off, I'd seen the Wisconsin ballot dump, and I had spoken to Ben, and I said, it's done, it's over. And he's like, no, and I just knew the fix was in at that moment. And Ben has acknowledged, sadly, that the fix was in. But what is your television saying right now in front of you? I'm just curious.
Well, I have Gary.
Oh, Gary.
Okay. Right now, Purdue is up by 2 percentage points with 81% in.
Yay.
Leffler is up by 0.8% with 82% in. But if you can't beat Ozoff, you're in trouble. I mean, they threw up two just pieces of crap. And if you can't beat them, you got problems.
But here's the thing.
Democrats, those are two terrible candidates.
But here's the thing, and I'll go to Ben on this. There is so much rigging going on. There is so much fraud going on that we, I mean, they're up right now, but Purdue was up over 50% with 98% in. And this has got to be frightening people across every conservative across America, sir.
Well, Judy and I often discuss, Judy is much better versed in day by day, minute by minute political fact than I am. But I studied a lot of statistics. I am an economist by training, and statistics tell you that once there's a trend going in a big way, it doesn't usually stop unless something quite dramatic, like cheating or stealing, is taking place. And that's what happened on election night. It was absolutely clear, to me, clear cut. Could not have happened any other way than by fraud. Seemingly, the Democrats have gotten away with it. They get away with almost everything nowadays. And I just hope and pray they will not get away with hitting up the Senate tonight. I pray that we're not going to have packing of the Supreme Court. I pray that we're not going to have people's guns being taken away from them. I don't know, but I don't have much confidence. I'm just really scared about what's going to happen. This year has been the year when my confidence, and Judah can testify to this, that things would somehow work out right, because this is America, and there's things work out right in America. My confidence has been shaken badly.
And I want to get into that, because this was Gary and I yesterday spoke on the phone for about 2 hours, like little schoolgirls, you know, sharing our love of Rush. And Gary, let me go. You served in the armed forces for over 20 years, right? You served in the State Department. You served in a few different branches of our government. And if you don't mind sharing with Ben what you said to your boss as you were leaving.
My famous exit interview, which I didn't realize was my exit interview at the time, but it was. Yeah, I did 20 years in military intelligence and as a federal agent. So and three different agencies. So I got to see a wide swatch of the government in numerous aspects. And I was always thinking the next agency would be better, right? And you hear people who did my job, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, Ben. We always go the pasture's greener over there. So I'll go to that agency. It's got to be better, right? And each agency I went to, it just got worse and worse and worse, until at the end, me and my boss had gotten
You're
into
scaring
it
me
I'm sorry, a couple ahead. Times. And I finally said, you know what? He goes, why do you, it was along the lines of, why are you being so difficult? And I went, you know what? He goes, we can work all this out. I went, you know what? I got to save my soul. I got to get out of here. And then he got pissed off, and I thought about it, and I went, you know what? I can't tell the difference between the criminals and my bosses anymore.
Oh, that's very good. That's a very good line. It's very
and then
line.
I finished it with, well, at least with the criminals, I know what I'm going to get. and he just lost his shit. I mean, that was the end for sure. And I did speak to him a couple more times after that, but it wasn't.
But Gary, like to people like Ben, this is really devastating, because Ben Stein has been a loyal foot soldier to the conservative movement for the better part of 50 years.
Oh, longer than that.
The person he idolized.
Longer than that. Longer than that.
But you were a 60s guy too. Nixon, you were fighting against Vietnam. And you had the hippie shakes going on, but you also have been a conservative foot soldier, and you've been a loyal, and this is the first year or two that I've actually heard you being frightened. But I want to ask Remso in quickly, because Remso is of the generation of don't trust. He's of the Edward Snowden generation. That it isn't shocking to you, Remso.
Yeah, no, I mean, when someone tells you what their intentions are, you should probably believe them, especially if it's going to cause harm to you. Always believe them. And, you know, right now, Loeffler, Purdue, I've been of the mind, I don't think they should be in the Senate. I think they should be in jail for insider trading. That seemed to go away at the height of the pandemic. You know, if they lose tonight, it's not because of rigging in Georgia. It's because they were both just terrible senators. So either way, whether they're in there enriching themselves or whether you've got Ossoff and the others, you know, in there enriching themselves, everyone's going to make my life more difficult. So my priority is, what can I do to maximize my liberty and make sure that I can leverage things? And Gary's books, you know, talk about this a lot. I've been listening to his show for about a year now, and I've read several of his books. And, you know, for a lot of people, you know, the smoke is starting to clear. We're starting to see this, whether you like Trump or not. There's a big club and we're not in it.
It's not that it's that big. It's just very influential, very powerful. It knows where the wheels are. It knows how to press the buttons to get the wheels moving in a certain direction. And we are not, and even when the Republicans are running the government, supposedly running the government, the deep state is grinding away. And as usual, accurately, both of you gentlemen, and of course, Judah, put out, it's always little by little, and sometimes in large chunks, grinding away at our freedom. I mean, the real opponent of the left is not the Rockefellers, or, well, the Rockefellers are all Democrats now, but it's not the billionaires. The real opponent is the individual liberty of the American. That's what they've been after forever. And they have been after, they're still after it. And I hope and pray they get at least a brief setback tonight in the sovereign state of Georgia.
As Gary looks up at the screen, and yeah, 100 million votes just went for Ossoff and Warnock. There apparently in Georgia, another pipe burst. And they can't flush the toilets in Georgia right now. I mean, there are more glitches in Georgia than peaches. There are more glitches than peaches in Georgia going on right now. But so Gary, so you did all this work and you got extremely, I would say, affected by it, not in a good way, and we all thank you for your service. How is it watching what's going on? It must be really difficult. You defended this great nation for over 20 years, and this is what we're stuck with.
It's frustrating, and that's one of the things you'll see a lot of us who did what I did usually leave around 7 years. There's the 80-20 rule, definitely exists, and it's probably more 90-10, you know. 10%, 20% do all the work while everyone else just sits around and watches. And I think for people who are doers in the government, that's where it's frustrating. You know, the people who go in because we love our country, we love our freedoms, and we want to protect them for others and ourselves, obviously, as well. It's self-interested as well. But there's a point where you realize that you're just the cog in the wheel and you're not making a difference. We all come to that point. And that's where you start to lose faith. And I've had discussions with a lot of people of us who left the government, and we all say the same thing, is we say that, we go, I just didn't feel like I was making a difference anymore. You know, once I leave, they're just going to shuffle someone else in, and this game continues.
The deep state game.
Well, and the deep state people don't understand, because I think it's been misconstrued a little bit, far as most average Americans don't quite understand what it is. Well, working for the State Department and being in military intelligence and every three-letter acronym, you know, agency there was, I've worked with at one point or another. And I'll tell you, it exists and it's scary. You get on the wrong side of certain people, you're done. Your career's over. They will take you out to pasture in a heartbeat. And they're in there. They're people who you don't even know of.
Because
they've been in 30, 40 years. They're not elected. You know, they have fiefdoms that no one knows about.
And but Ben, you've witnessed firsthand what bureaucrats who weren't who never got voted in, how they destroyed a president.
A great president.
Nobody can name the crime.
No, it's astonishing. I was a speechwriter and a lawyer for Mr. Richard M. Nixon, and also laterally for Gerald Ford. I still, to this day, cannot say for sure what the alleged crime was in Watergate, except for a process crime of covering up evidence, which is nonsense to kick a president out of office for that. But the powers that be decided he had to go. Yes, and I see that happened to Mr. Trump. They manufactured evidence, manufactured lies, manufactured every kind of questionable slime that they could throw at him. He beat them all, but accumulated that, plus the cheating in the election day and election night, was enough to kick out one of the best presidents we have ever had in the United States of America. And I would say, except for Mr. Nixon, the only president in the last, maybe ever, to stand up to the bureaucracy and say, we're not going to be pushed around. I was elected by the people and I'm doing the people's business. We're not going to see that again for a good long while. We're not going to see a president stand up to the bureaucracy because it's all a big lump now. The bureaucracy, the media, high courts, academics, they're all a big lump, a gigantic octopus-like power spread out, stretching out its tentacles all over America. It's very scary. I mean, Ramso, you are incredibly young. You're going to see this happening for a long time. I'm old. I won't see it much longer. I will be I don't know where I'll be, but somewhere in, I don't know where I'll be. I hope I'm with some nice people. But anyway, there's no end to it. George Orwell said, if you want to see the future, imagine a boot stomping on a human face forever. And I don't think he was that far off. It's really terrifying.
And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. We are joined tonight by an amazingly special guest, the guy I got along with swimmingly on the phone, Rush aficionado. That's the most important thing to me in the world. Gary Collins, not that Gary Collins, this Gary Collins, author, podcaster. But Remzo, can you please tell people where they could find us?
So the world might be ending, but it's not ending tonight. Please go ahead and hit that bell icon so you can subscribe to the channel and get updates whenever we go live or post anything new here on YouTube. You can also go ahead and do something that would, you know, it costs you nothing, but means everything to us. It's a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, wherever podcasts are available. And while you're at it, if you're not following us on social media, what the hell, people? Go ahead and follow us at The World According to Ben Stein on Facebook, at Ben Stein on Parler.
And I want to welcome everybody back to The World According to Ben Stein. I am actually in the foyer of one of Ben's abodes. The other night people were worried about me, they thought I was lost in a cube. Tonight, I'm sitting next to Fine Art, and we're joined again by Gary Collins, Remzo Martinez, and of course, Ben Stein. But I don't want people to be scared out there, and I want people to be hopeful. This is the new year, and people are going to have to live. Regardless of what happens, people are going to have to live and figure out a way through this. Now, these are extremely tough times of living. You know, it's like, it's almost the most morbid thing, and I want to go to everybody on this and hear your expertise and your suggestions that I've ever seen, because it's like you could start off in LA, Gary, Ben, Remzo, right? You could go through Beverly Hills, which is boarded up, or Hollywood, which there are certain stores that are just closed. And you could go through Hollywood and it looks like, Escape from LA, Escape from LA, since that was a movie. And then you could drive and then you could get to you hit rough patches, and then you get to a place like where we're in the desert, where you wouldn't even know COVID was going on other than the masks. People have money, people have nice cars, but in the middle, people are really suffering, guys. And it drives me crazy that the men who hold high places, to quote Rush, aren't acknowledging that people are going through hell right now.
Well, the people, man is a very selfish beast. And, the people who are top dogs in Washington, they're not suffering. I mean, they're busier than ever. They're lining up new contracts for the Department of Defense. They're lining up new contracts for all kinds of other government agencies. They're making money hand over fist. I mean, the prosperity in Washington is fantastic. And I might add, there are pockets of big pockets of prosperity all over the country. I just before appearing on this wonderful show, I was making dinner for some nice people here in my house. And the grocery store where I was shopping is jam-packed. People buying very nice cuts of meat and fish, jam-packed. Those people aren't suffering. And it's very hard for them to feel any empathy for people who are. And that's unfortunately the nature of human beings. But the Democratic Party, the reason I think they are damned is they pretend that they have so much empathy and care so much, they don't give a damn about anybody else but themselves. And the top African-American leaders are the ones that upset me the most, because I think it really is true that African-Americans do suffer quite a lot in this country. And I think the top people who are in charge of making their lives better really just couldn't possibly care less about them.
What do you say, Gary? And some suggestions.
Well, yeah. And for me, you know, growing up in the middle of nowhere, and where I was, you know, Lone Pine's in the middle of nowhere. And the town I live in, Northeast Washington, as Ben knows, is very small. It's the largest town in the county and it only has 2,000 people. And we didn't either. When I left there, you know, none of the restaurants were closed. We were, and they still are. We were dining inside. We were not wearing masks. The servers were wearing masks. People at certain businesses were obviously wearing masks, but it was also your choice. And it was very simple. There just aren't a lot of cases there. And it's a very simple way to look at it, is that where you have more people is where you're going to have more concentrations of people getting infected. That's just plain simple science. So the more spread out you are, the more, less people you have, the less infections you're going to have. That's just
Now in Sandpoint, which is just down the road, I mean, I know exactly that area precisely, block by block, house almost building by building. If you just drive down to Sandpoint, it's completely changed from what it was even 6 months ago. Places are closed. Not everybody, but an awful lot of people are wearing masks. And the newspaper, local paper, the Bonner Counter Daily Bee, full of scare stories all the time. And that's a different place too. And yet when I lie in bed in my wonderful, wonderful condo, I watch the Burlington Northern Santa Fe trains go roaring by, it seems as if it's old times and it's perfectly peaceful and nice. But then once you're at ground level, it's scary. And I don't think that the American politician sees things at ground level.
Somebody just brought up a great point, and I want to get to you, Remzo, in the YouTube chat. And Azure from Phoenix brought up that, or Azure from Phoenix brought up that if truckers just went on strike for 1 week, that would show some true pain to the establishment. If truckers, if the railroads, if they just said, you know what, you know, policemen, please don't do that. Okay. I never want the police to go on strike.
They did once in New York.
In New York, I know, but please God, truckers, just pull over to the side of the road. We're with you.
I know, but they're not. Judah, with the greatest respect to your obvious intelligence and energy and patriotism, they're not. The truckers are not suffering that much either. I mean, they have steady jobs. They have a very good union, and their pay is really quite good by most.
No, but I meant they tend to be also Trumpicans.
Yes.
And they tend to love America, and they're the ones that could actually, they're a wall that could show Washington what really matters, Remzo.
Yeah, I only voted for Trump this year. Last year, because of one very basic thing. He wasn't trying to force people out of their right to make a living and property rights. We saw the left basically went ahead and told people you're not allowed to support yourself, feed your families, and that your property can go ahead and be burnt down in the name of social justice. But here's the real thing. Out of college, I call myself the world's worst political consultant. And the one thing that both the Obama administration and the Trump years had in common is that I was broke during both of them. What we have right now are hundreds of thousands of people coming from out of state, coming to my home of Virginia, going across the Potomac to D.C. to go out tomorrow and cry and scream. And for very valid reasons, I'm with them on like a spiritual level. But at the same time, you know, Trump stays or Biden comes in. What's really going to change for a lot of these people? They were complaining about their jobs getting outsourced. They were complaining about being taxed out of existence. They were complaining about a lot of these things, all valid reasons. But ultimately, it comes to this. We keep thinking that government is a gun that we're going to go ahead and aim at people. And then we get really shocked and surprised when they win an election and the gun gets held at us. The problem isn't one side or another. It's the fact that everyone's fighting over the same systemic power system that is causing a lot of these problems. And while the government is certainly a problem, the thing is right now we're entering 2021. It looks just like 2020. Your average American is screaming right now, hoping they get $2,000 from Mitch McConnell. They'll be lucky if they end up getting the 600. I'm still waiting for my stimulus check. Meanwhile, meanwhile, unemployment is still incredibly high. You know, hundreds of thousands of Americans are still waiting for welfare checks. The problem is we didn't want to take our medicine. The problem is we want these very convenient lies in the face of the incredibly harsh truths. This is not about Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. This is not about one party. This is another. This is the system versus us. And it's not looking very good for a good chunk of people, especially online, where they think that, you know, the battle lines for the war of Western civilization will be there tomorrow. It's not. And if you think that's the biggest problem in your life, I've got some land in South Florida to sell you.
Oh, but where's it? With all due respect, I'd like to back up a tiny bit, Remzo, although I think I'm probably as big a fan of Remzo as there is on this planet. Considering the blow that the U.S. government and the state governments smacked against the American people with these COVID restrictions, unemployment is actually quite low. It's not surprisingly high, it's surprisingly low. And the reason I bring that up is that is a tribute to Donald Trump. He threw into place right away stimulus measures that have done miracles to keep the economy humming along. And I've written this a million times. If you went to every economist in America who wasn't already a dyed-in-the-wool leftist and said, how do you rate Mr. Trump's policies in regard to the recession and to the clampdown? Those people would say, perfect. He handled it perfectly. And he gets no credit for it at all. The media never gives him one bit of credit. Even the Wall Street Journal does not give him one bit of credit. And yet his work has been textbook perfect.
What do you say, Gary? Because I know you're not you're not one way or the other, Gary. You're not Switzerland either. Because when people say they're Switzerland, it usually means they have no opinion, or they do and they're passive aggressive. You actually have many opinions. You're just in the sense you just.
Well, being around him and protecting both sides, you know, I was around, you know, Democrat presidents and heads of state and foreign. I was around it all. I always say I have a famous saying that I put in one of my books. How do you want your shit sandwich, chunky or smooth? Because both sides are going to try and feed as many to you as they possibly can. So I look at it from that standpoint as I've been around all of them and I've heard their private conversations because I used to protect them. And their private conversations are very different than what you hear on TV.
Well, I would love to know that. I would love to hear a chapter and verse about that.
Well, and Remzo's correct. It is. It's DC against America. And it's hard for me. I was always, you'll like this, Ben. My first vote as a young lad was for Ross Perot. So I am one of the people responsible for getting Bill Clinton elected, if according to Republicans, right? But I couldn't stomach George Bush. I just couldn't. I didn't like the guy. I do not like the family to this day. I just don't. And with that, I don't like Bill Clinton either. And I don't like the Clintons. And with, I agree, Ben. And so for me, it's about taking the power back to us. We run the government. The government doesn't run us.
Wouldn't that be nice if that were true?
Well, because what are we getting our little stimulus checks from? It's our money, goddammit.
It's going to be, wait a minute. It's going to be my granddaughter's obligation. It's not going to be mine. I'll be long dead, but it will be my granddaughter's obligation. It'll be young people's obligation. This money is our money, to be sure, but it's not a gift from Mr. Trump or from Miss. That creep, the crypt keeper. I have a very close friend who calls Nancy Pelosi the crypt keeper, which is very, very clever. We're really in trouble about our generations down the road. But I think, if I may say so, I'll say it again. I think Mr. Trump handled it beautifully. I think Mr. Mnuchin handled it beautifully. I think the head of the Council of Economic Advisors handled it beautifully, a job my father used to hold. And I think that Trump staff handled it brilliantly. Of course, get no credit for it at all.
Now, let me preface this, Gary, just so you know, Ben likes Larry Kudlow very much personally.
Okay.
He didn't necessarily, and Mnuchin, he didn't necessarily think they were, or Trump. Ben was not a believer. So this isn't coming from somebody of a party. This isn't a party line thing.
Oh, I know. I've been listening to Ben for decades.
Yeah. So this is, and so the people out there that understand this, that this isn't like Ben just going rah, 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 sis, boom, bah, yay, Trump, Kudlow, and Mnuchin. A lot of thought has gone into this type of stuff. And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. I have to give a shout out to said bye bye to Twitter. He is in Washington. He's actually in Baltimore tonight, I think, at a Motel 6.
Who is this?
The guy in our Zoom who is a big helper of the show.
He's in Baltimore by choice.
Yeah, he got a Motel 6, and he's driving to Washington tomorrow for the January 6th rally in Washington. He's a trooper, and I don't want to say his name, but because he doesn't say his name. But God bless you. Be safe in Baltimore. Remember, duck. And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. I want to, Remzo, please tell people where they could find us.
Well, we're transmitting directly to the people in the People's Republic of Baltimore. Stay safe and don't wear certain colors. If you happen to still hear us right now through the, you know, rat chewed wires eating away at the internet, please go ahead and hit the subscribe bell so you never miss anything on YouTube. You can catch all the audio versions of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. You know how Al Gore's internet works. And while you're at it, go ahead and like us on Facebook at The World According to Ben Stein. You can always follow America's humble servant on Parler at Ben Stein.
And I want to welcome everybody back to The World According to Ben Stein. Remzo is just amazing, isn't he? It's like,
No sleep.
You know what you're going to be hearing for the next 20 years, Remzo, is, God, if I only could have done what you've done at that age. it was like when I got sober, people used to say to me, it drove me nuts. People used to say to me when I got sober, I was sober when I was 22. They used to say, I spilled more than you drank. And I always wanted to say, well, you weren't a very good drinker if you spilled that much alcohol. But welcome back to The World According to Ben Stein. We need some levity in this world. And because there are a lot of people that are scared. There are a lot of people that are alone. Rock Breath, who's listening to the show just now, just told me he got his 600. But can you imagine if you're down and out? And I want to, Ben, I was fortunate enough to listen to Gary yesterday share, because Gary literally comes from one of those one-stop towns, you know, and he came from nothing, from less than nothing in many ways, other than you didn't tell me much about your family. I'm sure they're great people, but you came from nothing. And you've made a hell of a life for yourself. And if you could just share for a few seconds, like how you did it, because I think people need to hear the hope.
Great idea. I'd like to hear it myself.
Well, yeah. And I always tell people I'm no one special. I grew up in a beat up trailer in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, if I can do it, anyone can. But I say if I ever tell it, because they always go, what's the magic thing? What did you do, Gary? I go, I'm hard headed. I don't give up. And that's it. That's pretty much all it is. And I never stop learning. You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and neither am I the dullest, but you know, I just keep going every single day and I just don't give up and I won't quit. And I keep doing everything. And you know, it's like my business today. It's an overnight success that took 10 years, 11 years, you know, and with that, that's why I teach the three-legged stool, which Remzo is very familiar with, because it applies to everyone. It doesn't matter about race, religion. You know, if you grew up in a trailer, you grew up in a mansion, it doesn't matter. And it's optimal health is the first leg. Being finding financial freedom by being debt-free is the second one. And the third one's finding your life purpose. If you put those three pieces together, your life will be very, very different for the better. And what I talk about too is not only is it empowering for you, but those are the three things that big corporate America and big crony capitalism and the government have taken away from us, but we've willingly given them to them. We've given them so we can take them back. And that's how I look at it. And it sounds very simple, but Remzo also knows we've talked about it. That three-legged stool is not easy. It's simple, but it's not
a bitch.
It takes work. I mean, what I observe is that people who don't really get very far in this world don't work. I mean, it's an extremely basic thing, but work, perspiration, is a huge, huge part of getting along in this world. And so many people, especially in this country right now, want to avoid it. This is why I respectfully and humbly question the stimulus checks. I see jobs out there going begging, and I think to myself, why are we giving stimulus checks out there when there is a shortage of workers, not of jobs? At least in parts of the country that I see, there's a shortage of workers. The employers are begging for more workers. Why don't people go to work?
Well, we transport everybody that's out of work in Los Angeles to those towns.
There are plenty of people. There are plenty of jobs in Los Angeles, my friend. You need only walk around the various neighborhoods in West Hollywood where my friends and I get our groceries, and you'll see there are plenty of jobs, plenty.
But getting back to it, so I think that's some very good suggestions to people, but I think it's important for people to know that you can, because it's not a message and a lesson, Ben Remzo, that's taught in America, that you can dig yourself out of the grave.
Absolutely.
You know, that, you know, we live in a place where let's be real, the inner cities are just decimated by I believe systematically decimated by the Democrat Party, who basically have told a generation of people, this is as good as it gets for you. Here's your monthly allotment, you know, and just vote for us.
I've said this many times on our wonderful show, and I'll say it again. The best movie ever made, in my humble opinion, besides Tropic Thunder, is a wonderful movie called Gone with the Wind. And in Gone with the Wind, after the Civil War, a Republican, could have been a Democrat politician, is talking to a group of recently freed slaves, and he's saying to them, and I'm going to promise each and every one of you 40 acres and a mule. And one of these poor, sad freed slaves says, and a mule? And of course, now that is considered wildly racist, and maybe it is, but that has been the way the Democratic Party and all the parties have operated along. We'll bribe you, we'll give you all these things if you'll just keep voting for us, and you get $1 a day, and we get millions. And that's a sad way it operates. I mean, God, if you look how rich the inner players in Washington are, they're very rich. I mean, even the most assorted liars about socialism and their sacrifice are terribly rich with our money.
And Remzo, I want to go to you because you are as hard of a worker as a 21-year-old I have ever met.
You're 21? Wow.
I'm 20. I'm 26. I can now say I'm in my late 20s, and it's a horrifying thing to say out loud.
As somebody said the other day, he's either between 30 and 13, right? And he lies in the middle. But Remzo, you are just like stone cold a hustler. And you come from an army family. You don't come, you know, we met your dad, who's extremely an awesome individual, just a great patriot to this country. And you just work your tuchus off.
Yeah, I mean, to give people kind of an idea, I left my full-time job about a month ago, and I'm in a position now where unemployment is not as scary as it used to be in me. I had an emergency fund. I have contract work. I'm working for several clients starting Monday, and I'm actually going to take a few months off just to, you know, I'm going to take a trip with my girlfriend at the end of January, and I'm planning a road trip in February. So by like March, that's when it's like, okay, finally go get something so you've got that regular salary coming in, because, you know, your salary will be the biggest generator of your wealth. And for people that follow my show On the Run, you know that my plan was to at least be financially independent, semi-retired by 37, 38, you know, something around that range.
If you can do it, God bless you.
Yeah. And I mean, I tell people this all the time. One of the lowest points of my life, but also one of the best points of my life, was when I was about 22, 23 years old. I was already a best-selling author from my first book. Wow. I'd been on a bunch of radio programs. I'd speaking at conferences. Yeah, I had to work at GameStop for $7.25 an hour. And try telling people, you know, you're a college educated person with a security clearance and a best-selling book whose supervisor is a 16-year-old with a learner's permit. What that taught me was humility. What it taught me was that there's dignity in work, because there were days where I really didn't want to show up and say, hey, welcome to GameStop. But I did it. I got promoted. I started working multiple stores. I got a raise. They wanted me full time, but I ended up getting a better job in lobbying after that. And, you know, ultimately what I tell people is, you know, there's no action you can take when it comes to finding work or working that will ever be that negative, because if I could do it working at GameStop and that was just a blip in my life that felt like it was going to be forever, you know, there are enough people out there that say, you know, this is beneath me, or I don't want to do that, or I didn't work this hard to do it. Listen, God rewards those that help themselves. And that's something that we're going to have to, you know, look at together now, because I thought that the 2008 financial crisis was the worst thing ever. This is that on crack.
That lesson, unfortunately, is exactly the opposite of a lesson that the politicians, especially the Democrat Party, is teaching. The politicians are saying, don't bother working. We'll do it. We'll bail you out. All we ask in return is your vote. You don't just stay where you are. Keep watching TV. Keep smoking dope or doing whatever you're doing. We'll take care of you. That is a terribly bad lesson. It is the equivalent of what we do in California by legalizing marijuana and telling people, don't pay any attention to reality, get high all the time. We'll take care of your bills. Very, very, very bad message.
You see, this is where Remzo and me, you see, this is one of those complicated questions about the legalization. And we'll do a whole show about that, because I know Remzo's a libertarian. I don't know what Gary's opinion on this. But as somebody that comes from our place of recovery, Ben and myself, we see the pitfalls of drugs. You know, we see so it's so hard for us, this legalization thing, when you see the bottom people hit.
And we see that it's a con job by the government to try to keep people enslaved. It is the drugging of America in return for votes that make people rich and powerful and live in huge houses on Foxhall Road in Washington, D.C., while the marijuana user is lying in bed, staring, wondering what the hell happened.
What say you, Gary?
Well, I'm a little different. Yeah, people are pretty shocked being a former federal agent. I think pot should be legalized. I don't understand. I it's a plant. It's been used for thousands of years. You know, a cocoa plant. Why can't I own a cocoa plant and pull off a couple leaves and chew on it to get, you know, the same energy as a small cup of coffee, if that? You know, caffeine's addictive. Caffeine technically is a drug. You know, I think the pharmaceutical companies had killed more people and addicted more people than pot. I mean, come on. You know, when you look at it that way, I'm a guy that I believe in freedom of choice, that, you know, free will. You make your lot in life. If you want to sit on the couch and smoke pot all day and not do anything, fine, go ahead. Just don't expect me to pay for it.
That's the problem. The Democrat Party has said we will pay for it.
You see, Ben and I would probably be on board with you if we didn't see firsthand thousands of times that happen. You know,
where it leads to terrible places.
Where it leads. So that's the rub of it all.
Escape from LA.
Well, the thing is, though, I do have a lot of alcoholics and drug addicts in my family. So don't trust me. I see this from both sides. I worked on the law enforcement side where I put people in jail for things like this. And then I have people in my family who died of addiction to a legal drug called alcohol, prescription medications. These were all legal. So that's where I come into a split with it. And I'm a guy of self-responsibility. If you can't figure out that crack and heroin are bad for you, I don't know how to help you. I mean, there's no gray area in heroin. It's like, if you're stupid enough to get hooked on heroin, it's tough, but because you have to look at it's what are opiates? Well, they're derived from poppies. You know, it's complicated. It's complicated. I wish I knew the answer, but far as marijuana and, you know, psilocybin and stuff like that, you know, when was the last time a guy that smoked pot went out and knocked off five banks?
Yeah, but with the greatest possible respect, Gary, and I hope I see you every week for the rest of my life, I see where it leads, and it leads to some very horrible ways of life. And
I agree.
It's very scary. It's scary.
Can we say this? It's complicated. And there needs to be more dialogue on it.
I've often said,
you know, it's like abortion, the way the left likes to use it as a form of contraception. They also like to use certain subjects as if just do it. Just, you know, for every weed store that opens at the same time, maybe open up a treatment facility.
I agree.
Because they are making so much money from that, that is easily could support a mental health facility, which we are in dire need of many more in this country, especially during and after COVID comes.
Can we agree, though, that the war on drugs is a complete farce? Can we at least agree on that?
Yes, I would. I mean, I'm not going to speak for Ben, but yes, I believe the war on drugs was. But listen, I don't blame Nancy Reagan. I think she.
Oh, I don't.
When she said just say no, that was the best she knew. She did the best that she had with what she knew. There was no malice or any badness coming from her. I'm not defending Nancy Reagan one way or the other. I'm simply saying when she said just say no, that was her message. And
Well, think of it, and I agree with you too. If you grow up impoverished and you grow up in a bad neighborhood where, you know, every corner has a drug dealer on it and your mom's hooked on drugs, your dad's hooked on drugs, your cousin's in jail, your brother's in jail, it's systemic. I totally agree. There should be treatment centers and there should be ways, but we shouldn't be filling up our prisons with people for drug offenses either and carrying a dime bag of pot. You know, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. And it is complicated. It is complicated. I know many people who smoke pot on occasion that are really smart people and are very productive. But I also know a lot of people who got started smoking pot at an early age who are dead now because they got addicted and it just went down a bad road and it never ended.
Yeah. One of my favorite actors, and he shared about this, so I'm not breaking his anonymity at all, was from American Beauty, was Wes Bentley. And after American Beauty, which was a brilliant movie, I don't know if people are allowed to watch it anymore because Kevin Spacey's in it, but it was a brilliant movie and he was a big pothead. And pot had for him led to heroin. And we were like wondering what happened to Wes Bentley's career? And gratefully he's sober, he's on that show Yellowstone. And he was able to turn his life around. But that is, you know, and I know that, listen, like we said, it's complicated. If you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. We're joined by a really fun guest tonight that I'm happy to have on and happy to meet, not just because, but mostly because he's a Rush fan. But I'm trying to get him addicted to the Killers.
You mean
now.
Rush Limbaugh or the rock group Rush?
The rock group Rush. You know, Ben, Tom Sawyer, Limelight.
Today's Tom Sawyer, Mean Bride. I love that song.
I mean, just brilliant, just absolute, and a lot of it, Neil Peart wrote from Ayn Rand. A lot of it, you know, Ayn Rand, however people like to pronounce it. Neil Peart and her both have names that people have a hard time pronouncing. You just tuned in, you are listening to The World of Gregorian Ben Stein, and of course, we're joined by podcaster, and just a guy I love is Remzo. That's what's fun about the show. I want people out there that are listening in the future and now to know that Ben and I often disagree. We've had car rides where we are in the desert back, where we have gotten into arguments and disagreements, and we talk to each other afterwards, okay? And maybe not the next day, this is what we're supposed to be doing, is talking. We have lost the ability as a society to talk. And that is what the saddest thing that I think we've gone through in the last bunch of years, not just with Trump. We have lost the ability to talk. And I pray that we talk again. And Remzo, please tell people where we could find us.
Well, for the stoners who are watching, hit the subscribe bell. So that way you never miss an episode of the show when we go live on YouTube. Please, if you haven't already, a 5-star rating and review costs you nothing, but means everything does on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Audible. We know how the internet works. Wherever podcasts are available, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Share the show with your friends, lovers, enemies, coworkers. Just share it. And if you haven't already, you can go ahead and catch us on social media at The World According to Ben Stein on Facebook. And as always, at Ben Stein on Parler.
And I want to welcome everybody back to The World According to Ben Stein. Gary Collins is our guest tonight. And he also talks a lot about living off the grid. And what does that mean? I want to tell you something very funny, though. Rock Breath, and that actually is his name, who's a big supporter of the show. When I brought up, told him the topic today, he goes, that's me. I'm living off the grid. You know, he's getting an RV next year, and him and his wife are just going to be driving around the country, which Gary reminds me, Remzo wants to go on a road trip. You're moving to Arizona. Maybe you could barter and Remzo could get the RV for a little bit, just an idea. But Gary, why don't you explain to people what living off the grid means?
Yeah, and I did it a little differently. I'm not a fan of pooping in a bucket and, you know, living in a tent and 55-gallon tubs of pancake mix or all that and next to my ammo. Don't get me wrong. Those people, I love them. I got friends like that. But for me, it was more about a lifestyle choice. Growing up very remote, you know, quiet, no noise. Growing up poor, you look at your parents, go, this sucks. Then you get older and you go, you know what? That wasn't all that bad. You know, it was quiet. I got to do what I wanted to do. No one really bugged me, but it was before cell phones, pagers, social media, all that stuff. But for me, it was getting back to basics. I wanted a place that I could go to where it was quiet. I could work. I could write. I could do the things I like to do, hunt, fish, go out with my dogs, ride my mountain bike, and be left alone. Just leave me the hell alone at times. I'm not antisocial, but when I want my free time for me, I want it to me. And in the cities and doing that and living all over the country in big cities, it just became too much. And so I built a house that I built, most of it by myself. I had contractors and stuff. I talk about it in my book, but it was about just,
well, what's the book called for the people listening, Gary? What's the book called?
Going Off the Grid. It's been a bestseller for 3 years now, and I just released the second edition. It's on my website, thesimplelifenow.com, and Amazon.
Great. Wonderful.
Sorry to interrupt you, so go on.
Oh, no. And for me, I just wanted to build a place. It's a small house, but it's very energy efficient. I run off solar. I put in a wind turbine this year. But it's about, I just say it's about not being attached to public utilities. That's my definition of it. People go, but you run a podcast, you have internet. It's all Wi-Fi. You know, I don't have any hardwired anything. And so, you know, for me, it's weird because I literally run everything. You know, I'm my own, you know, I have my own septic system. You know, I run my own power, my own water. I have a well and I'm out in the middle of nowhere. So if I'm on a ladder and I cut the bottom of my leg off, well, guess what? No one's going to hear me scream. So I got to be a little more careful and you better be nice to your neighbors because they'll leave you there and let you bleed out. So it was for me is just simplifying my life.
But I got to say this, and I want to ask Ben this, because the way you just summed it up was sort of a metaphor for living your best life. Mm-hmm. You went off the grid and built this life to live your best life. But it doesn't, you know, somebody's going off the grid doesn't necessarily have to be your grid. It could be Ben's grid or Remzo's grid, Ben.
Well, with all due respect, That life you've chosen is a perfect example of why America is such a great country, because you can choose that kind of life. I love a life where I see a lot of people every day. I love a life where I walk down the aisles of the supermarket, which is the only game in town in Los Angeles nowadays, see people and greet them. Even if they don't know them, I greet them. I like company. I like sociability. I like having the luxuries of daily life. I won't be able to afford them much longer the way things are going, but for the time being, I enjoy them very, very much. And I'm extremely blessed that I can make my choice, and you're blessed that you can make your choice. Ramses is blessed that he can make his choice. Judah's blessed that he can make his choice. This is an incredibly great, wonderful country. We have so much freedom of choice. It's amazing. Will that continue? I question whether it will under the Democrats. I question whether they really want people to be free. I really am terrified.
You don't have to question it, Ben. It's not a question. It's a real statement. It's a real factual statement.
That's very, right?
Very friendly. Somebody was a little worried about you. Ben is a little tired. The reason why is Ben recently got very humble, nice car. He decided he wanted to drive down to the desert. I usually drive and Ben takes a nap while we're listening a little Fogerty and the Killers and a bunch of other things. But he drove the whole way like a big boy. And he's
first time I've done it in decades.
First time he's done it in decades. I'm begging him to drive home.
I'm not driving.
Right. Thank God. And not because you can't drive. You drove perfectly. So he's a little tired. But, right. but Remzo, wouldn't you think the same thing? Like, you're living your authentic self. This isn't, you're living a life that's off your, for me, this is such a beautiful topic, Gary. I'm really so glad you used that metaphor, that example of the way you're living your life, because Ben loves to go to Sandpoint, but he also loves being in pavilions in West Hollywood where, you know, when I'm in this store with him, sometimes he'll just scream at me loudly and say, can you believe this is America? Look at all this food. Look at all this food we have. Look at all this. Look at all this stuff we have. Amazing. And it's like I get so much gratitude for being born in this country at that point when I see that and I realize what other people don't have, Remzo.
We're very lucky.
I take a very biblical view of my world around me. But to put it simply, I mean, this is all a simulation. This is where we were put. We interact with the day and age and the people who we're surrounded with. And ultimately, what we have to understand is what's going to lead us to a sense of meaning. And, you know, Gary says this in his books and he brings up in this podcast. If you don't have a sense of purpose in your life, you're going to be directionless. And I want to be able to, you know, hopefully die peacefully one day and look back at my life and say, I did it my way. You know, I wasn't outrageously selfish. I wasn't greedy. I wasn't doing anything self-destructive or something that could harm other people. But I was, you know, I was achieving my sense of happiness, because right now within the American public system, what you're told is to go to school, conform, go to college and get into a bunch of debt, work all day for somebody you might not like, pay taxes and die. And I don't want to live that way. But that's the beautiful thing, though. We're all the architects of our own path going forward. And whether you're a person of faith or not, I think that there's something divine about the individual and that we were raised and we were born to do more than just wait to die and pay taxes.
I think that's great. There's something divine about the individual being an individual. There is something really, really great about that. And it's a beautiful phrase, and I am indebted to you for it, sir.
It was beautiful, right? And I just want to bring up a movie that one of my favorite movies of all time, it's called The Bronx Tale. And there's a great scene in it, Ben, you haven't seen it, but it's just a brilliant movie where this kid is talking about Mickey Mantle. He's talking to this mobster named Sonny about Mickey Mantle, and the mobster, Chaz Palminteri, who wrote the movie, goes, F Mickey Mantle. You think Mickey Mantle is going to pay your bills tonight? You think Mickey Mantle is going to bed at night, you know, is thinking about you, you know what I mean? And he's like the neighborhood guy. He's like, you know, basically it's like we look up to people thinking that that they're going to help us. But at the end of the day, we're the only ones that could sometimes help ourselves. You know, it's like, Ben, when I, you know, been going through rough times and like I don't get an article and you're like, you got to keep writing. That's what happens to writers. You know, I mean, it's like as I strive, you know, and I think sometimes people give up, you know, quit before the miracle. You only see the movie, the 5 minutes of the movie you're living in, guys. You know, it's like we only see 5 minutes of the picture and not the whole show. And so many people get lost in that 5 minutes of the movie, Ben.
Absolutely. And there is so much more to life. I've been so many cases in my life where I've thought I was up against the wall and this was it. But God, in my life, God is my wall. And I turn everything I can over to him. I'm scared to death a lot of the time. I'm really, really, really scared. A very close friend of mine emailed me just a couple of days ago, maybe just yesterday, saying, I'm so tired of being afraid. I'm afraid too all the time. People look at my life, they say, my God, you have a luxurious life. And I do. It's luxurious beyond what anyone deserves. It's just insanely luxurious. Will it last? Probably not. I mean, I'm old and I'll die. If the COVID recession lasts forever, I will go broke. But I'm just so grateful I have what I have. And I've seen so many times where it looked like the end was imminent. The day Nixon resigned, I thought the end was imminent. No, as Nixon said, it's always a new beginning. The young must know it, the old must know it. It's a new beginning always.
And I mean, I want to end it on that almost, but I know Gary had a couple of questions for you, Ben. He's been a huge fan of yours for years.
You're very kind, sir.
And I know Gary did have a few questions. So Gary, go for it.
Well, the first one is, are you a big Rush fan, Ben?
I like the song Today's Tom Sawyer, Mean Pride. I'm not a huge fan.
You like Limelight too. You like the song Limelight because when it's like living in the limelight, the universal dream for those.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm a fan.
What made you buy your place at Sandpoint? Live in that area. What brought you to that area? I know what brought me there. I was curious what brought you.
I was doing a lot of commercials at that point in my life, and the director of many of them was a very, very, very smart man. And he said, you must come see my place in North Idaho. I said, isn't that where all the Klansmen and the Nazis are? And he said, no, it's wonderful. You'll love it. I went up there. I fell madly in love with it as soon as I crossed the Ponderay River Bridge. And I just never stopped loving it and continue to love it. I have never had anything, even a serious, remotely serious Nazi problem, even remotely there. People are really nice and friendly there to me. I consider it in many ways my home. We have a boat. We have a couple of dwellings up there. And we just love it a lot. We're happy. Unfortunately, the fellow who was my first host up there had died in a rafting tragedy. But it's a wonderful, wonderful town. I don't want to urge too many people to go there because I don't want it to change. But it's a wonderful town.
And by the way, Gary, before you get a question number 3 or 4, I just want to interject. There were 3 episodes of Forensic Files that occurred in Sandpoint, Idaho. I believe the first episode on Netflix of it takes place in Sandpoint, Idaho, and it's such a beautiful place. Gary, go on.
Well, and it's funny, Ben. When I went up there, all my friends went, "Isn't that where all the Nazis and white supremacists live?" I got the same exact thing. And like you, I've never ran into one. I know where they're at. There's a couple. There's like 5 in the entire place.
Well, there's supposed to be quite a number of them just past Quarter Lane. I don't know. Thank God. I've never had them do anything bad to me. But Sandpoint is a wonderful, wonderful place. Just absolutely great.
Yeah. Well, I want to say one thing, though, when we're talking about, we do. We live in the best country in the world. I'm very patriotic.
You bet.
Anyone who knows me, I did nothing to get this. I was just lucky. I won the lottery to be born in
you
America.
You bet.
And I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of not living while I'm here. That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, God bless you. Yeah, no, we're very lucky. When I first moved there, I was visited by a young woman. Well, then we were all young. Her mother had been in Auschwitz and survived 5 years in Auschwitz. And as we were driving on the back road between Sandpoint and Priest River, she said, "This is the America we pledge allegiance to." And she was exactly right.
And yes. I just want to say to people out there, especially Rock Breath, to anybody, if you do want a signed book of either Ben's or of Gary's, just private message either Remzo or I at Remzo at Judah Friedman, and we will make sure to get those books for you on the house from The World According to Ben Stein. It would be an honor to send those autographed copies to you. Just let us know, and we will get them out there to you. You know, I could already tell we're going to have Gary on. It 1 hour is just not enough.
Nowhere near enough.
Sorry, sir.
And I appreciate very much your kind words and your insightful observations.
What one of the most comforting things about this and being around you is that this too shall change. This too shall pass, right? And no changes are permanent, you know.
God bless you.
And Remzo, can you please tell people where they could find this before we end this?
Well, hey, go ahead and hit that subscribe bell. You'll never miss an episode. We come to you multiple times a week. We usually let you know in advance, but hitting that subscribe bell will let you know as soon as a new episode pops up live. And please, if you're on the road, if you're working out, doing whatever, handling the kids, the audio version of the show is available on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Make sure these conversations get out to more people. And as always, engage with us over on social media at The World According to Ben Stein and at Ben Stein on Parler.
And of course, steal people's phones. It's okay. And just hit the like button. Gary Collins, please tell people where they could find you.
You can find me on my website, thesimplelifenow.com. All my books, everything I do is sold there. I do everything. Those books are all mine. I self-publish everything. I write them myself. So I know that sounds crazy today. Yeah. And just go there or my podcast, Your Better Life.
Great.
And thank you again.
And thank you, Judah. You do all the hard part. God bless you. God bless your soul.
Thank you, sir. I didn't get a chance to thank you. You are America's humble servant. And I want to tell people they could find you at thespectator.org. And please read Ben's pieces and find this.
The American Spectator.
The American Spectator. But that's, I believe, what that's their website.
Yeah, there's another Spectator, but this is the American.
Yeah, that's Spectator USA. They're spectator.org. Right. And I just want to say, stay safe, said bye-bye to Twitter. And he went and visited Mount Vernon. Stay safe, have fun there tomorrow. And I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart for listening to us tonight. This is, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to do this. And I want to thank everybody. And I want to wish everybody a great night and say you've been listening to The World According to Ben Stein. Please be safe and sound and cheer up.
God bless you. And what happened in Georgia? Judah, what happened in Georgia?
Gary's watching, not me.
You want an update real quick? We're at 91% in. Purdue is up by 3 points. And Leffler is up by 2.2 points.
Okay. Remember, in about 6 minutes, the lights are going to go out in Georgia.